Hey, what's up? This is Leo for Actualize.org here, and today I want to talk about the idea of resistance and how resistance robs you of a lot of your potential, even if you are already super motivated. So what is resistance? Well, I like to make an analogy between mental resistance and electrical resistance. So electrical resistance we know of as the tendency of a conductor to not want to have current flow through it. So obstruction of current through an electrical wire would be electrical resistance. Whereas the resistance I'm talking about, the self-development type of resistance, is your resistance, your mind's resistance towards thoughts and ideas and ultimately actions, because what you think and what you believe and what your ideas are, your concepts, your inner game is going to influence the kind of actions that you're able to carry out in your life. So what are some things that you might be resisting? Well, how about that big project at work that's due in 2 weeks? Or washing the dishes? Or doing your homework? Or having that conversation that you need to have with your loved one? Or going Christmas shopping 2 weeks before Christmas rather than waiting till the last day? Or how about doing your taxes? Or sending your resume off to another company, or maybe going to the dentist, even though you're afraid to. So all these things you can be resistant to. So the thing that the really interesting and kind of pernicious thing about resistance is that it's worst with the things that you really actually want to be doing. So this is something I've noticed in myself, is that I set goals for myself. I tend to think of myself as a high achiever. I think people out there that are high achievers have this problem where you set a goal for yourself and you create a lot of shoulds and musts for yourself. So these are things that you have to do. Maybe you have to go to the gym. Maybe you have to eat cleaner. Maybe you have to do better at work. Maybe you have to make 10 phone calls a day if you're a marketer or a salesperson over the phone. You know, whatever it is, there are things that on the one hand you want, and on the other hand you simultaneously resist. Now here's the trick with resistance. Resistance happens because you are creating imperatives for yourself. So think of yourself as having a higher self and a lower self. And your higher self is like the adult. So it knows what you need to be doing, it knows all the right things that should be happening, and it knows everything that's good for you. And then your lower self is that part of you that wants to stay in your comfort zone, that part of you that likes security, that doesn't like taking risks. And so it's like the kid. So it's the kid and adult relationship between your higher and lower self. Now here's the problem, is that when an adult comes up to a kid, and if you tell your kids to not do something, a lot of times, what are they going to do? They're going to immediately just resist whatever you're telling them, and they're going to do the exact opposite, just to be contrarian, just almost to spite you, even if what you say makes sense to them, even if what you say is good advice. How many times have you done that when your parents gave you advice? I know I have. It's just, I think, a natural human tendency to kind of shy away from and not want to do the things that we're being forced to do. Whereas if we're giving options and we're given options to choose, then we're much more likely to have the drive to do it. The thing is that you do this to yourself too. So even though you have the option to work at the job that you are currently working at, or you have the option to go to the gym or not, fact is that if you're really punishing and repressing that lower self of yours, ironically what you're doing is you're hurting your results. Because what's happening is that you might be moving forward in your diet or in your business or whatever it is that you're doing. You might be moving forward in that thing. You might be getting some decent results, but you're probably also feeling a lot of frustration. It might feel like a grind. And the reason it feels that way is because you're feeling that resistance. And now this is such a pernicious thing. It can pervade any aspect of your life, because you can literally develop resistance toward anything. You can develop resistance towards any of the things we already talked about. You can develop resistance towards personal development, which is something that I've struggled with. And what I want to talk about here is how to manage resistance, how to understand it, and give you some tools for actually reducing it, eliminating it completely if you master some of these tools, and they're pretty simple. So, one really good example of this is, of course, going to the gym. There's always that crowd around New Year's time, like January 1st through January 15th, those first 2 weeks of the gym. So if you're a gym regular, you know that it's funny. The gym gets so packed. It's like this throng of New Year's resolution people come in and they're all eager to get on the treadmills and start lifting weights. And the gym is packed. The parking lot is so full you can't even park. If you're a regular, you get a little bit frustrated by that. But when I see that, I can't help but kind of grin and chuckle because I know that most of those people, 90% of them, I probably won't see in 2 weeks just because they've got that burst of initial motivation and then it's all going to drop off. And they're going to develop a lot of resistance towards it. And fact is that, even being on the opposite side of the fence, I go to the gym regularly, so I've been going to the gym for like 7 years straight now. And even though I think I developed a pretty strong habit of it, a lot of times, I shouldn't say a lot of times, but there are periods like weeks within the year where I really don't want to go to the gym. I really struggle with it. I have to pull myself, physically pull myself to the gym. Yeah, and come up with all sorts of excuses why not to go. And sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't. And I come and I give in to that lower self, and I stay in, and I veg out on the couch or whatever. But the fact is that that's a great example for how resistance works. Is that you tell yourself this is something you should do initially, and then when you get a little bit frustrated with the lack of results, you tell yourself, "God damn it, no! This is something I'm doing. This is something I have to do." And then from that point on, you have this very stern discipline about it. So you're always telling yourself, I have to get to the gym by a certain hour. If I don't make it, I'll punish myself by doing X, Y, and Z. And it's this harsh kind of discipline, which might get you some initial results. It's certainly better than being a slacker and not doing anything, and just being lazy or not even being conscious about your health. But it's not the best way to get the best results. Because in the end, there's too much struggle there. Wouldn't you ideally want to be going to the gym with a certain ease and a certain flow where you're happy to go there, you want to go there, you're enjoying it, and you don't feel like there's any sort of grind involved? Well, that's where eliminating resistance really comes into play. So the best way that I found to eliminate resistance, there are a couple of ways I'm going to share with you. Really, I'm going to share two ways here. One of them is dead simple. And it might actually be the best way. And the second way is the one that's a little bit more involved, and that's what I'm going to start with, and it's called the Sedona method. Now, the Sedona method is great for releasing all sorts of emotions. So you can use it on anger, frustration, sadness, loneliness, all that kind of stuff. But right now, we're just going to limit Sedona method particularly to dealing with resistance. So with resistance, the way the Sedona method works is like this. First of all, Sedona method tells us that you're going to develop resistance to anything that you're telling yourself you must do. So if you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. And the way to eliminate that is to go through this little process. It's like a four-step process that you go through. It's a mental process. You do it in your head. It takes just a couple of minutes to do. And what it does is it removes the emotional blocks that you have with that resistance. Because resistance is not a conceptual thing. Resistance is a feeling. When I'm talking about resistance, this is something that you feel very, very deeply, like in your body when you're resisting something. So let's say you're sitting there on the couch and you know that it's time to go to the gym. It's your usual time. You should be getting up right now, putting on your gym clothes, and heading in. Well, now if you're resistant to it, if this is something that you've been struggling with, then the way it's going to feel to you is it's going to feel like this heavy tension in your body. It's going to be like, oh man, I really don't want to do that. Like, why does it have to be so difficult? Why is it always so frustrating? Why me? It's this kind of victimization that you have. And ultimately it leads to a lot of frustration, also leads to guilt, because what happens is when you're feeling that kind of resistance and you're on that verge where you can side one way or the other. So you can kind of side with your higher self or your lower self. When you side with your higher self, you're gonna go to the gym and you're gonna do your workout. But you're also gonna have a lot of struggle and frustration while you're doing it, so it's gonna feel very labored. If you side with your lower self, what's gonna happen is you're gonna not go to the gym in this case, and you're gonna feel very guilty about it, right? Because your higher self still is there. It's still telling you, I should have gone. The next day, you might still be feeling bad for not having gone the other day. And over time, if you develop this kind of negative habit of siding with your lower self, you get into more and more guilt, you get into more and more frustration, and it really becomes difficult to actually do stuff that you want to do. It robs you of a lot of your potential. So this is where Sedona Method is going to really come in and help you. So what is Sedona Method? Like I said, it's really an inner game tool, and it's a series of questions that you want to ask yourself. Now, why I was talking about resistance being a feeling is because Sedona Method works with feelings. So what you want to do to try this method out is very simple. You want to, first of all, step one, is you want to get in touch with your feeling of resistance. So in this case, let's say you're sitting there on the couch and you're looking to go out to the gym, and you're kind of on that cusp of, which way do I side? Do I go or do I not go? Man, I really don't want to go, but on the other hand, man, I really got to go, or I'm going to regret it tomorrow. So get in touch with that feeling and really feel it. So don't try to run away from it. Just let it kind of soak into your body. That's step one. So you're feeling it now. Good. Step two, Sedona Method, is you're going to ask yourself a question. This is all the questions that you ask in Sedona are silent questions, so you're just talking in your head, basically. And the question that you ask there is, could I let this go? Could I let this feeling go? And you're going to ask yourself that question, and I want you to really think about it and ponder that and ask yourself, if you were really pinned down, if I had a gun to your head right now and I said, you have to let go of this feeling of resistance or I'm going to pull that trigger, would you be able to let it go? Now, this is kind of a yes or no question. So that's how you answer. You answer it with a yes or you answer it with a no. Either answer is fine, but make sure that you really think through it, because the point of Sedona is that it's asking you these questions and it wants you to come up with the answers. And as you come up with the answers, you're going to experience a release of emotion and a release of feeling. So in this case, like, one little trick that I like to do is I like to think, when I ask this question, I like to think to myself, you know, if I was a master Jedi, or if I was a Zen Buddhist monk, or maybe I was a Greek Stoic, could I just let this feeling of going to the gym go? After all, it's just like, it's a pretty petty feeling if you think about it, right? When we're talking about going to the gym, what is that in the grand scheme of things? Not really very significant. Could I just let that go? And what I find is that I almost always come up with the answer yes. And I think if you rehearse this process, you're gonna have to try it out a couple times. If you rehearse it and you really think about it, your answer to that first question, could I let this feeling go, is always going to be yes. And that's good. So you just say that to yourself, and then you go on to step number two. Now, if you're so resistant, if you're so caught up in these emotions and these feelings of not wanting to go to the gym, that you can't imagine a possible scenario where you could let that feeling go, then answer no, by all means. Don't fake your way through these questions. And what you'll find is that is also actually going to lead to a reduction of feelings, because you're acknowledging the fact that you want to hold on to this resistance. The fact of the matter is that you always have the option to let it go. Sometimes you're just much more caught up and identified with your emotions than other times. So sometimes it's easy to let it go, sometimes it's hard to let it go. But with Sedona, this is a process that you can go through that's almost always going to guarantee that you're going to get a reduction in the strength of the feelings and the emotions, even if you're resisting using Sedona. So just plow through it. So that was step number one. Now, step number two, well, actually, let me back up. Step number one was just feeling the emotion. Step number two was asking yourself, how could I let this go? Step number three now is asking yourself the silent question, would I like to let it go? So this is a slightly different question. Here, what we're asking is really, what would you like to do? You know that you could let it go if you wanted to, but that's still not the same thing as actually wanting to let it go. So let's say you said, yeah, if I was Obi-Wan Kenobi, I could let this resistance go. Now we're asking ourselves, I've recognized that I can let it go in theory, do I actually want to let it go in practice? And that another way to phrase that question is like this: do I want to stay identified with this emotion of resistance, or do I want to be at peace? Would I rather be disturbed by this emotion, or would I rather be impenetrable? And that's a choice. So actually ask yourself this: which of those two would you want to side with? And again, if you really think it through, usually you're going to come up with the answer yes. And of course, it's still possible that you might come up with the answer no. And that will happen when you've got a really strong emotion, if you're very resistant to something. So let's say you did say no. That's still perfectly acceptable. It's still going to lead to a reduction in the feeling. So that was step number three, right? You ask yourself, would I like to let this go? And the final step, step number four, is to ask yourself, when would I like to let this go? So here, this is pretty easy. If you've answered yes to the first two, then you're gonna want to ask yourself, now I recognize that I can let it go, and now I've made the decision that I would rather be imperturbable rather than being disturbed by this emotion. So I've made the choice to let it go, and now the question is, when? So the best answer is right now, right? Because why stay bothered by something that is hindering you for longer than you have to? And you can always let go immediately. So there's never any reason to hold on to something unless you want to. So if you said that you don't want to hold on to it, then make a decision as to when you want to stop holding on. So usually the best answer is right now. You can also answer no. You know, you could say, I'm not ready to let go of this right now. I'm going to hold on to it. You probably won't say it like that. You'll probably just say, no, it's impossible to let this go. And that's fine. That means you're just very, very identified with that emotion. So stay that way. Even with the answer of never, even if you answer never, I'm never letting this go. That guy screwed me over, whatever. I have to get to the gym. I have to be at a certain weight by a certain day of the month, or I'm going to shoot myself. Whatever it is, if you're that committed to it, then you're probably going to say never. I'm never going to let it go. Fine. Stay with that. So you're going to go through those steps, 1 through 4, and you're going to find that each of those steps that you go through is going to lead to a slight reduction in the intensity of your resistance. And that is going to complete one cycle of the Sedona method. Now, the trick is that you have to run this cycle multiple times on every instance of resistance that comes up for you. The nice thing about it, though, is that once you do run it a couple times, you're going to substantially reduce that resistance, and a lot of times those gains are permanent. So this is not something that you have to do forever for the rest of your life, but it's something that you're going to get immediate results from. So it might take 2 minutes to run through this, through the full process. Now, the full process is going to take, typically, I like to say 4 cycles. If you just take what we went through right here, those 4 questions, those are 1 cycle. So you just complete that 1 cycle, and then you immediately go back in and you start again. So by starting again, I mean, again, you ask yourself, okay, what am I feeling right now about going to the gym? Okay, I have some lingering resistance. Let's say I have 90% of that original resistance left. Okay, so you want to identify with it. Get a feeling for it in your body. Get a sense of why you don't want to go to the gym. And then go right into the next question. Go into the first question, which is, could I let this go? Then go to the second question, would I let this go? And then go into the third question, when would I like to let this go? And so that completes cycle 2. Then you go through and you do cycle 3, and then you do cycle 4. So you go through it 4 times. Every cycle that you go through, you're going to notice maybe a subtle, maybe a great reduction in the resistance. It might take 1 or 2 cycles to really take the bite out of that emotion. On the other hand, it might take 5, maybe 6 cycles. And maybe you have to do it a couple times throughout the day as this resistance is coming up for you. But eventually, you'll notice that you get substantial reduction. Now, this is a technique, a mental technique that you can use to work on your emotions, to release emotions, specifically with resistance. And like all techniques, it's a tool. So you're going to find that when you start using it, you're going to be rusty. And there's going to be some common problems that you can make using Sedona, which actually I've gone through and I've detailed more in depth in the article. I don't want to do that right now on video. So be sure to read through those common pitfalls that people experience with Sedona. But I guess the two points that I really want to stress, the couple of points that I want to stress about that is, number one, give it a chance. It sounds kind of hokey. It sounds kind of new age and silly that, you know, you can have an emotion and then you can just let it go. Before you are too quick to judge a book by its cover in this case, I really want to urge you to try it out, because like everybody else, I think that encounters this method, at first it seems so simplistic that there's no way that it could work. And there's no way that it could work for serious problems. Fact is that I've tried it. I was skeptical at first, but once you use it for a few days, you use it on a couple of problems, then you use it for a few weeks, then you maybe use it for a month, you start to really notice the effects, and you start to see how powerful it really is. It kind of blows your mind. So definitely give it a shot. Don't be too judgmental about it at the outset. The other point that I want to make is go through all the cycles. So there's this tendency, at least I had this tendency of where I went through one cycle and then I expected this immediate release and I didn't get it. And then what happened is I tended to cast judgment on the method. I said, no, this is nonsense. This Sedona stuff doesn't work. It's a bunch of BS. And what you have to do is you really have to go through it three or four times. Three or four times is enough that you actually are going to start to feel a reduction in that resistance. So what's literally going to happen is you're going to not be able to do that step number one, right? Because step number one in Sedona asks you to identify with the feeling. And what happens is when you go through each cycle, that feeling is going to dissipate to the point where you go through maybe three or four cycles, and then you try to maybe go into that fifth cycle, and it's almost going to be impossible because you're not going to be able to do that first step. That first step is telling you to identify with the feeling, but that feeling is gone because you've gradually knocked it down. And what you're going to find yourself doing is you're actually going to find yourself struggling to get into step one. Once you get, you know, very very adept at using Sedona, you're going to find it a struggle because you're like, okay, I want to do one more cycle. Let me do a fifth cycle. And you're going to find that it's hard because at this point, the feeling, you only have a vague memory of it. It's only an abstraction. It's not a real feeling. It doesn't have that hold over you that it used to have. So those are some of the very common kind of caveats that I'll give for using Sedona. I really encourage you to try this technique out because it's so powerful. It will let you get through your frustrations and unblock some of those grindy areas in your life. So think about it right now. You know, what parts of your life are you encountering a lot of struggle in? Is it maybe at work? Is it maybe with your diet and how you're eating? Is it maybe with gym, like we talked about? Is it maybe with developing a certain skill set within yourself? Maybe you want to become a better public speaker. Maybe you want to learn stand-up comedy. Maybe whatever it is that you want to do, are you resisting that? Where else could you have kind of a grind in your life? Think about that. It's going to be very palpable. Chances are you're probably going to pinpoint a couple of areas, and it's going to apply to anything. In fact, one place where it most definitely applies is actually with Sedona method itself. One common problem with Sedona is that you can tend to have resistance towards actually using Sedona to remove resistance from other things. So just like anything else, you can develop a resistance towards something when you tell yourself that you have to do it. So if you tell yourself right now after watching this video that I'm going to go and use Sedona from now on and everything, and then I have to use Sedona all the time and I have to be perfect at it, you're going to put a lot of pressure on yourself, and actually that's going to create some backwards momentum that's going to hold you back. So watch out for that. And what's the solution there? Well, you can actually use Sedona method to release on having resistance to the Sedona method. Kind of an interesting little catch-22 how you can do that. So definitely watch out for that. Once you have acquainted yourself with Sedona and you find yourself using it and then it's working well for you, watch out for that resistance, because it'll probably creep up for you the way it did for me. beyond Sedona Method, what else do I want to say about resistance? I think as I was actually writing the article below, writing this article on resistance, you know, I went through all the points that I wanted to make. I wrote it out. And then I had kind of an epiphany while I was meditating. I had this epiphany that a lot of the stuff in my life would go a lot smoother, and I would actually get a lot better results at it if I took the pressure off of myself for having to do it. See, the problem is I tend to put a lot of pressure on myself to be self-developed, and I put a lot of pressure on myself to learn and to improve every day and to get a certain amount of work done every day and to hit the gym and to eat well. So a lot of pressure on being perfect and on getting success and getting achievement in life. And what I find is that intuitively, you tend to rationalize it to yourself, if you're a high achiever at least, that putting more pressure on yourself is going to lead to more results, more success, right? So you kind of tend to whip and self-flagellate to get yourself going, to get yourself motivated. But this epiphany that I had was that I kind of realized, I'm like, oh shit, that self-flagellation that I'm doing all the time, I mean, it works to some extent, but it's starting to backfire on me because I'm noticing that I'm having difficulty going to the gym. And even though I'm going and I'm still getting decent results, I'm starting to resent it and I'm starting to hate it. And that animosity that's building up over time, that's not a healthy thing. And I don't know how sustainable that is. Eventually, it might lead to me quitting the gym. So in that case, like, I really realized how I was that push that I was making to be successful was not serving me as well as if I just kind of let things breathe. Now, the scary thing about letting things breathe is that you'll tend to tell yourself that, well, if I just let this go, if I'm not disciplined, then I'll just be a couch potato. I'm going to slack off. I'm going to put all that weight back on. And so it's a little bit tricky. And that might be true, actually, at first, is that that very harsh discipline that you have, that might be holding you in place right now. But see, sometimes you have to take a step backwards before you can move forwards. And that's kind of the case here, is that you might need to actually be able to sacrifice slacking off at the gym a little bit so that you can rebound and get back on the horse. This is what I found, is that usually when I'm developing mastery in something, when I'm becoming good at something, the way it happens is not through just a constant beating myself up and whipping myself into shape. What happens is that initially I'm lazy about it or I'm negligent. Then I have to use a lot of discipline, so I kind of swing my pendulum to the other side where I'm very harsh with myself. And then I find that that gets me some decent results, but then I find that I've gone a little too far and that there's too much resistance and too much grind involved with everything. So I tend to swing the pendulum the other way, even though I'm afraid. I finally swing my pendulum the other way and I say, fine, I'll just go back to being lazy again. And then you go back to being lazy. And then you do that for a little bit and you're like, you know what? This lazy thing doesn't work for me either. So now you have a choice. Now you could swing your pendulum again to the totally opposite side and use a lot of harsh discipline. Or you have the choice of saying to yourself, okay, so laziness doesn't work. The harsh discipline stuff tends to backfire. It's not sustainable for forever. So there must be a happy balance somewhere. And you tend to find something in between that works well for you. And you tend to actually get the best results when you're in that middle zone. Because you're recognizing that you have two sides. You have your higher self and you have your lower self, and they both have legitimate concerns. The higher self cannot always just dominate the lower self. That will backfire. And then again, of course, the lower self can't always win over the higher self, because then you're not achieving, you're feeling guilty, you're not living your potential, you're really not sharing your gift with the world, and you're not being who you could really be. So that's a good way that I like to think about resistance, is just, it's actually, letting go of it is actually important for your results, even though in the short term, you might suffer a little bit. So really ask yourself the question, are you more concerned about the short-term gains, or are you more interested in getting a very stable, solid, long-term improvement or achievement or whatever it is that you're doing, like really locking that in? So if you're going to the gym, wouldn't it be awesome to get rid of that yo-yo that you have, where one week you love it, the next week you hate it, the next week you love it, the next week you hate it? Wouldn't it be nice to kind of even that out and just have a smooth and steady habit? And it's not something that you're really forcing yourself to do, but it's something that you enjoy. I think that's one of my goals with everything that I do, is to start to really see that I have a lot of areas in my life where I'm doing that up and down, and I want to smooth that out. And that's going to get me much better results. Another point about resistance, I have some notes here that I'm using because it was such a long article, and there's a lot of good stuff here. What you really don't want to do is avoid your feelings. When you run away from your struggles, ironically, that tends to, it's kind of like sweeping a problem under the rug. It tends to fester, and it tends to just go rancid and stink, and it comes back to you in the end. So in the short term, that might be a good solution, is to just kind of stick your head in the sand, not look at your resistance, not look at your problems. But in the long run, it's not very good. In fact, a very good way of removing a lot of resistance in your life is to just allowing yourself to feel whatever it is that you're feeling. So let's say you're resistant right now about going to the gym. The thing that really makes that resistance bad, if you kind of toy around with this for a while, you'll realize that what makes it so awful is the fact that you're actually resisting the resistance. You're not allowing yourself to feel bad. You can feel bad about something and be accepting of it, and you can also feel bad about something and resist it. When you feel bad and you tell yourself, man, why do I feel so bad? This is not the way life is supposed to be. I'm not supposed to feel bad. I'm supposed to feel good all the time. That's a surefire way of really creating heavy, heavy resistance for yourself. So a great method, if you're, for example, resisting going to the gym, is just saying, you know what? I'm feeling shitty right now because the other day I was having problems with going to the gym. A few days before that, I skipped a few days. And I'm probably going to go in today. It's not going to be so great. And right now I'm sitting here. I'm struggling. It's really a struggle to decide whether I'm going to stay in or whether I'm going to go out. I don't know. It might go either way. I'm feeling a little bit drained of energy, a little drained on willpower. So I can't even trust myself to make the higher self decision. I might have to side with my lower self, and I don't want to do that. But you know what? That's okay. See? I'm accepting of it in that case, and that dissipates a lot of resistance, counterintuitively. Whereas intuitively what you would want to do is you'd want to say, no, that this resistance is horrible, I'm going to get rid of resistance by using the Sedona method, and resistance is never going to come up for me again, I should always feel awesome. If you take that route, well, you can kind of see what's going to happen is that you're going to set expectations for yourself that are not realistic, first of all, and second of all, you're just not acknowledging the fact of the matter that there is this seesaw effect going on, and that it's okay to be resistant at times. The best way to get out of resistance is just to accept that you have resistance, and then it sort of fixes itself. It's kind of interesting. So you make things a lot worse by kind of egging yourself on and setting up a lot of high expectations for yourself. So I mentioned that there were two methods here for removing resistance. I really went in depth on Sedona method. I think it's an excellent tool. I definitely encourage you to try it out. And then just accepting of your resistance. You can accept your resistance by asking a question of yourself such as, could I allow myself to feel resistant right now? That's really kind of an extension of Sedona. There are various subtle ways that you can do Sedona that I'll cover in the future in other articles. But I did start off by saying that there is one other way, and in fact I said that maybe it's the best. Well, the best way that I know how to get rid of resistance is just through action. It's very simple. I call it the just do it method. I mean, ultimately, sometimes I just think that all of self-development can be, all of self-help, all of self-development can just be boiled down to one thing, which is just do it. You know, whatever it is you need to do, just do that freaking thing and you won't have any problems. Of course, easier said than done, right? But the great thing about the just do it method is that you don't need a lot of, you don't need a lot of thinking. If you're the kind of person that doesn't like to think and rationalize everything and dissect everything and analyze the way that I do, well then just pure action might be the best thing for you, and just kind of kicking yourself into gear and literally forcing yourself to take action. A lot of times that's the best way to solve all your problems in life is through action, right? Sometimes if you think there, if you sit down and think, you can think yourself into a pit of despair, and sometimes it's hard to think your way out of a hole. Much easier to climb your way out just by starting to climb. Here's the thing with the just do it method is that as simple as it is, it's also highly effective. And the way that I really use it is, you know, you literally can use your body to get your mind into motion. So the way that, let's use an example. Let's say we're talking about that gym example again, right? If you're sitting there on the couch and you're using the just do it method, if you're using Sedona method, you should sit there and spend 5 minutes going through all the cycles. If you're using the just do it method, then you cut your mind off. You don't even think. Because when you're sitting there on that couch, you're thinking all sorts of stupid stuff. You're thinking like, oh man, I gotta put my sneakers on. I gotta go change. Then I gotta get in my car. I gotta get my gym towel out of the laundry. Then I gotta get my protein shake going. Then I gotta get to the gym. Then I gotta wait for somebody to get off my machine. I gotta do my bench press. Then I gotta do my squats. Then I gotta do my curls. Then I gotta do my cardio. So you build up this massive pile of stuff you gotta do. And of course you're gonna resist doing that. You just visualized all the nasty stuff that you're gonna do. It's so negative that you're building it up too much. So with the just do it method, you cut all that crap and you start forcing your body. And you stay very present and in the moment. So you force your body to just get off the couch. Next step, walk over, grab your car keys. Next step, put on your sneakers robotically. Next step, just walk out the door. Next step, get in your car. Next step, drive to the gym. Next step, just walk through that gym door and go to your machine and just start moving away. And usually by that time, you kind of get in the flow and stuff starts going. So with the just do it method, you're really relying on using your body to kind of brute force your way through the problem. Can be great. I mean, it works. It's super simple. So if that's the best method for you, go ahead and use it. Try using Sedona and see how that compares, how the two compare. The thing with Sedona, and the reason I went into it in such detail, is I think it gives you a lot more leverage than a just do it method. Just do it method is kind of common sense, and you can develop some skill in using it, actually. I think most people don't really know how to use the just do it method properly. Like, they haven't really conditioned and disciplined themselves to actually move their body to get their emotions up and to get themselves motivated. But with Sedona, you get a lot of leverage. So with the just do it method, you need a lot of willpower to get that process started. With Sedona method, you also need some willpower, but I think you get a lot more bang for your buck when you expend willpower on Sedona. Sedona only takes 2 minutes. The other nice thing about Sedona is that it can be done anywhere at any time. It can also be done immediately. So with the just do it method, you know, if we're talking about going to the gym, well, that's something you just have to start doing. Whereas Sedona method, that's something you can do throughout any part of your day. So let's say you're resistant to going to the gym in the morning. Well, and normally you go to the gym in the evening. So in the morning you wake up and you're already having resistance going to the gym. But you're going to go like at 6 p.m. So right in the morning, you can already use Sedona to release a lot of that resistance and feel good throughout that day. You're just going to spend 2 minutes going through those cycles like I talked about, and that resistant feeling will dissipate. With the just do it method, well, you're going to have to wait the whole day to start doing it, and you're still going to feel a lot of those emotions. So Sedona method is nice in that regard. Also, Sedona method could be done very, especially once you get good at it, can be done while you're doing other stuff. So if you're going to pick up the kids, if you're driving in the car, if you're waiting on the phone, if you're waiting in line to buy groceries, even if you're at the gym doing cardio, you know, if you're walking the dog, whatever it is you're doing, not everything, but stuff that doesn't require too much of your attention, you can use Sedona to release on all the resistance and all the different things that you have in your life. So that's why I like Sedona. I really encourage you to look into it. I'm going to have more in-depth articles on how to use Sedona to release other emotions like anger, fear, frustration, sadness, all of those. I think it's a really powerful method. I've been experimenting with it. I've known about it for maybe a year now. And I've been experimenting with it on and off. I've been getting into it a little bit more now, and I'm getting some pretty good results. I really like it. And if you want to know more about Sedona, there's more method to that madness, so to speak. There's more details there, so you can pick up one of their books. It's called The Sedona Method by Hale Dwoskin, and you can get that on the links that I have down below in the article. You can also get it on Amazon. And then you can also order audio and video courses from Sedona.com, and they have some amazing programs. I've watched some of those, and I've gotten a lot of benefit from them. That's kind of that's the source of my information to you about the resistance, is really from the Sedona method. So I really encourage you to get your feet wet, start using it right now, pick something right now that you're resistant about, and apply those four or five steps that I talked about. Read through the article. There's more details there about how to do everything properly, how to avoid all the common mistakes, and that's it for now. I encourage you to use Sedona, and peace out.